Balaram Jayanti. We're not going to First Canto, Chapter 4 anymore. We're going to Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 5. The subject matter of who is Lord Balaram? Because later we'll be speaking more about Balaram's activities, Leela, and his relationship with Krishna, and the exchanges with Krishna, and his service to Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 5, the identity of Lord Nityananda within the Panchatattva of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, and Shivas. These are very beautifully described, very elegantly described, and very comprehensively described by the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, because each of these five features of the Absolute Truth, they're Krishna or Krishna's direct expansions, and they're playing their function or service to Krishna in his feature as Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Nityananda, in that Panchatattva group, he's Lord Balaram. So Nityananda Ram. And in that context, to identify who is Lord Nityananda, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes who is Balaram. Because Lord Nityananda is Lord Balaram. So that's a wonderful spiritual science. How Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and how Lord Nityananda is Balaram, not just an expansion. Well, I'll touch on it because it comes up here. It's a little technical, but the technical is necessary to understand the nature of Balaram. So, in the language of this Adi Leela chapter 5, Balaram is given a particular position or category. Prabhupada has translated it as, he's the counterform. So there's Krishna, and it's not like once upon a time there was Krishna and he was alone. It's not a chronological event or an event within time, but Krishna expands himself directly as Balaram. And the technical term is Pratimurti. Pratimurti, his counterform. I'm familiar with this term Pratimurti or Pratibhu in terms of the deities of Vrindavan. Maybe some of you are familiar that the Goswamis of Vrindavan, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they established temples and deities in those temples. Radha Govinda or Govindaji was the deity of Rupa Goswami and so forth. Madan Mohan was the deity of Sanatana Goswami and so forth. So at a certain point in time, due to invasion by vicious or military attacks by King Aurangzeb, the deities were taken from Vrindavan so they would be safe. They wouldn't be at risk of Aurangzeb's wickedness. And after Aurangzeb was over, other deities were put in their place. The original deities were shifted to Jaipur, and in their place came Pratibhu deities. That's that term I'm familiar with, Prati. So the Prati Murti or Pratibhu deity is to be understood as literally non-different, although the form is obviously different. One that's in Jaipur is not the one that's on the altar in Vrindavan. The one's in, so, but they're non-different through procedures of installation and, you know, transcendentally non-different. Transcendentally non-different. As much as, for example, the Goloka of the spiritual world and the Gokula of this material world, they're spiritually non-different. And the worldly example of this is the embassy of a country that's in a foreign land is legally, so this is like, you know, by common agreement amongst humans, governments, the embassy of a country is none different than the country. Legally. If someone breaks the law in the Indian embassy in New York City, they're subject to Indian law, the Indian enforcement of law, and the Indian law enforcers. Although it's in New York City, it has nothing to do with New York City or New York State or the USA. It's India. Legally. Similarly, the expansions of Krishna's abode, and similarly the expansion of Krishna directly as Balaram, is Pratimurti. And then another term is used to identify the expansions of Balaram. It's not Pratimurti, it's Kala. And it has a specific connotation. Krishnadas Kaviraj describes it Angshera, Angsha. So Angsha means a part, and Angshera means a part of a part. Part of a part. Doesn't mean diminished, like the example directly in Brahma Samhita where Dipashir Eva, where you have a lamp, or like is done on Diwali day, or when we do Damodar Astakam, maybe you've been in Vrindavan, there's a lamp on the altar. They bring the lamp from the altar to the edge of the altar out front, and then the pujaris take little lamps and light the lamps from that lamp on the altar and then put the lamp back on the altar. So there's the original lamp from which many other lamps that fill the room, as long as they continue burning. So each of those lamps that fill the room give off the same amount of light and heat as the one that's on the altar. But the one that's on the altar is unique. It's the one from which all the other ones are lit. It's the original. So the expansions of Balaram are compared similarly to those lamps that are lit and fill the room on Diwali day or Govardhan Puja or Damodar Astakam or whatever the celebration is. There's Angshera Angsha, a part of a part. Some of you are familiar, I'm sure, with Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, Opulences of the Absolute. Arjuna asks Krishna, please describe ways in which I can always remember you, think those features of you, and Krishna describes features of him. The Sanskrit title of the chapter is Vibhuti Yoga. And Vibhuti is another technical term. It means of those features of the spiritual world, their reflected manifestations in this world, those are vibhutis. They're opulences of the Supreme manifested in this realm. And they're superlative features of empowering, manifesting special powers within some living entity to be superlative. Because even the ones that aren't superlative, the powers they have come from Krishna. Just, you know, to blink your eyelid, or digest your food, or, you know, scratch your head, or just to do anything. It takes empowerment, and withdrawing that empowerment, it can't not manifest. So the remote cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he manifests opulences of himself in this world. Those are vibhutis. And at the end of the chapter, Krishna says, but what is the use, Arjuna, of all these description of all these opulences, for by just a fragment of myself I pervade and support the entire universe. Ekang sena stito jagat. So that ekang sena that pervades and supports the whole universe is a kala, or angshera angsha, a part of a part of Balaram. We can say it's a part of Krishna, because Krishna and Balaram, they're pratimurti. So it's that one is right and the other is wrong, and you got to like make up your mind. Is Krishna the source of everything, and everything is the kala? The Vishnu Tattva forms are kalas of Krishna. That's correct. They're also kala expansions of Balaram, even more precisely, because Balaram is an expansion of Krishna. This is this one and different teaching of the Vedas, and specifically the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. So Balaram, who we're observing the appearance day of today, he's not different than Krishna, the way that Prabhupada explains it, just like simple. He's not different than Krishna. Krishna and he are the same, except for one thing. Well, more than one thing, but except for one thing. Balaram is white. Not like white like this, but white like snow. White like milk. White like white. Balaram is white. And Krishna is Shyam. He's blackish in complexion. Shyama Sundara. Beautiful blackish complexion. And Balaram is white. Otherwise, they're the same. And there's one other difference. We'll spend most of our time talking about this other difference, and that is the mood of Balaram towards Krishna is he wants to serve Krishna. If you read carefully Nectar of Devotion and the description of Rasa, the Rasa Tattva, the science of understanding rasa, without elaborate retelling of all of that, there's one section where there's this language where there's the object of love and the abode of love. So in someone's heart, they're feeling love towards another. And the one who is feeling love towards the other, that's the ashraya. And the one who's the object of that love is vishaya. The subject and the object. Just like in grammar, sentence construction, the subject, object, and a verb, minimally. There may be a predicate, and maybe some... You've learned these things, right, in school? Subject, object, verbs. So, it's grammar. And it's also in relationship, subject and object. And the nature of the science of rasa is subject and object alternate. So, for example, Radha is the one who has feeling of love for Krishna. So he's the object of love. And Radha is the abode of love. But also Krishna has love for Radha. So in that sense, he's the ashraya and she's the vishaya. She's the object of love for Krishna. And then Radha's expansions. Text 37 of Brahma Samhita describes the gopis as embodiments of her own image. I mean, they're separate entities or separate personalities. They're not like robots or something. But at the same time, Radha is the embodiment of, or the manifestation of, Krishna's Ladini Shakti. And his Ladini Shakti has different excellences, 64 of them. And each of the gopis manifests some of those 64, while Radha exhibits all 64 in fullness. And the combination of that, the excellences of Radha that attract the love of Krishna, it produces rasa. Mutual. She has love for him, he has love for her. So, back to this. The abode of love and the object of love, Balaram is called the subjective expansion. And subjective isn't a psychological term. It's a relational term, where the abode of love towards Krishna. Balaram just wants to serve Krishna. Now Krishna sees Balaram as his elder brother, so he wants to serve his elder brother. But there's that, you can say, transcendental competition between them. One wants to serve one, the other wants to serve the other, but as far as our discussion for this morning, Balaram's appearance, in the language of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and you know, our transcendental literatures, Balaram is called the subjective expansion or subjective identity of Krishna. In that sense, in the sense that I've just described, that specifically, Balaram feels love for Krishna. And he just wants to serve Krishna. And in that chapter 5, it's described that the tendency that the living entities have, like, you know, us, you and me, and all the people that aren't assembled, all living entities' tendency to serve, the constitutional position, Jivair Svarupaya Nitya Krishna Das, that tendency for the living entity to serve is derived from Balaram, where his expansions. Vibhinangsha. There's Angsha and Vibhinangsha. That's us. We're the, like, tiny. But the tendency, constitutional tendency to serve Krishna, is derived from the position of service of Balaram. So we're just to assist Balaram in serving Krishna, who just wants peace. And as well, the mood of Radha to serve Krishna. That's her expansion. One of Radha's expansions is Bhakti Devi. And Bhakti Devi endows or awakens that constitutional position of living entity to wish to serve Krishna once again. So we're servants of Radha, or by the mercy of Radha, we can be once again awakened to our position of serving Krishna instead of serving illusion. No Krishna. You know, where we are, this material world. So we're honoring the appearance day of Lord Balaram to with recalling through the assistance of Krishnadas Kaviraj, recalling to mind who is Balaram? What is it about Balaram that's important to us? Why are we honoring him? So he's Krishna's direct expansion. And Pratimurti, not different than Krishna in all respects, except his color and his mood. But he's not different than Krishna otherwise. Just like, you know, Radha Krishna. We'll be observing Krishna Janmashtami really soon, because Balaram appears first, then Krishna appears. But when we are honoring Krishna's appearance, we can also remember, and then afterwards Radhastami, that Radha and Krishna, although in two forms, are one entity. Yes? One entity. Eternally manifest in two forms. Very important teaching to understand Lord Chaitanya and to understand, you know, what's what. So as Radha expands as Bhakti Devi, who then, by the mercy of Radharani and the representatives of Radharani, we're being given the opportunity to engage in devotional service. That's really special. Because otherwise we're in la-la land out here in the material world, like lost. Like a ship without a captain, without a rudder in a storm. Lost. But by the mercy of Bhakti Devi, or Radharani, or Krishna's pleasure potency, we're getting the mercy of Krishna through her to be again engaged in her, in his service, through her mercy and kindness and soft, compassionate nature. Despite our ridiculous, you know, obstinate, foolish position. She's very kind. And Balaram, similarly, the mood of service becomes awakened, and the capacity for spiritual strength to carry out the service comes from Balaram. That's what his name means. Bala means strength, but not physical strength, spiritual strength. To carry out the service that we become then inspired through his mercy and through Radha's mercy to engage in service, we can't do without strength. That's pretty obvious. We get, you know, tossed around by the waves of material energy real easy. We need strength. And we need direction that comes from Balaram. The original spiritual master is Balaram. And anyone that serves in the capacity of spiritual master is representing Balaram. As well, in this chapter 5, it's very nicely described. Also, or Radharani, representing Radharani, to engage others in the service of Krishna on behalf of Radharani. So it's a very special position. And any one of us can serve in a similar capacity by Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. By Vartma means path, by showing people the path, the way to Krishna. Which way is Krishna? He's that way. That serving that function is an empowerment directly from the internal potency. Krishna is that way. Or you speak the message of Bhagavad Gita and you just repeat the words of Krishna. That's an empowerment. To do that requires empowerment. To do it effectively requires special empowerment. So we're just servants. And Balaram is master, but he sees himself as servant too of Krishna. And I was thinking to read these verses, but I'm talking too much. So what the verses say is Balaram expands in five principal features. Sankarshan in the spiritual world. And there's primarily two Sankarshans in Goloka and Vaikuntha. We'll discuss. And then the forms of Vishnu. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu. So that's three, plus the first one makes four, and the fifth one is Shesha. Is an expansion of Balaram. You know, like when Akura was taking Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura on behalf of Kamsa, because Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, so instead Krishna killed Kamsa. So when Krishna and Balaram wanted to, before going to Mathura, take their bath in the Jamuna, Akura stopped the chariot, they got off, they went, took their bath in the Jamuna, they came back to the chariot. And Akura requested, may I also take my bath? So, sure. And so he went to the river Jamuna, and there he saw Krishna and Balaram in the river Jamuna. But he had just left them on the chariot. So he was very surprised, and he went back to the chariot. There were Krishna and Balaram smiling, sitting in the chariot. So he was confused. So he went back to the river Jamuna. Instead of seeing Krishna and Balaram again in the river Jamuna, it was Lord Vishnu and Anantashesh, Krishna and Balaram. And literally, the Acharya is described like this, he was shown the spiritual world right there in the river Jamuna. And what is in the spiritual world? The curtain of Maya was drawn back, and he could see the spiritual world right there. So it's a very special place. Later, a second time, actually it was an earlier time, Krishna showed the residents of Vrindavan the spiritual world right at that very same place. And that was a wow experience for them. Krishna showed them the spiritual world. So Krishna showed Akura that he, Krishna, and Balaram are the same as Lord Vishnu and Anantashesh. And, you know, all the personified Vedas and all the other inhabitants of the spiritual world. So Anantashesh is expansion of Balaram. And this Anantashesh has his place in the spiritual world, it has his place in the material world. The Anantashesh of the material world is expanded because he just wants to serve. He holds the universes on his hoods. And from his mouth he's chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. And sometimes it's described like this. Sometimes he becomes so ecstatic, describing the glories of the Supreme Lord, that he starts to dance. And when he starts to dance, the universes on his hood start to move. And it becomes a very dangerous situation. But he also exists in the spiritual world. And in the spiritual world, he manifests the spiritual world. It's not like once upon a time there wasn't a spiritual world, and then he manifested the spiritual world. It's not a chronological description or an event. But he, the language of Bhaktisiddhanta calls this the infinitary aspect. Infinitary aspect. Infinite. has no beginning, has no end. The infinitary aspect of the Supreme manifests the spiritual world. And that means, you know, the abode, Goloka. And that means, you know, the trees and the river Jamuna and the forms and the paraphernalia. The bed of Krishna, the shoes of Krishna, the umbrella of Krishna. Krishna's paraphernalia. He just loves doing service. So he manifests the whole spiritual world through the eight course, through the agency of his potencies. Because he, as Krishna is omnipotent, Balaram is equally omnipotent. So he utilizes his potencies, which are the same as Krishna's potencies, to manifest the spiritual world. He manifests and sustains the spiritual world. And similarly, through the Vishnu forms, the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay, Vishnu, Shirodakshay, Vishnu, they manifest the cosmic manifestation in its different features through their potencies. Why? Service to Krishna, that's all. There's expansions of Balaram, and Krishna wants the creation to come into being, and so, yes, sir, they make the material world come into being. In sequences of elaborate description. But these Purusha avatars, or forms of Vishnu, they're direct expansions of Balaram, who is a direct expansion of Krishna. So it's all connected to Krishna. Through the agency of his expansions, who do all these things, manifesting and maintaining the spiritual world, manifesting, maintaining for Simon for some time and withdrawing the material world. And Shesha, literally it means paraphernalia. And Ananta Shesha means unlimited paraphernalia. He just loves serving. And so he does. And he serves, he knows exactly what Krishna wants, and he does exactly what Krishna wants. It's a pretty fantastic relationship. He knows exactly what Krishna wants, and he has all the power to do exactly what Krishna wants. Well, I had planned to read the verses, but should I go back and read the verses? It's 20 after. 22 after. Let me just read a little bit in the beginning. Adi Lila chapter 5, text number 4. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the fountainhead of all incarnations. Lord Balaram is his second body. These two are one and the same identity. They differ only in form. Lord Balaram is the first bodily expansion of Krishna, and he assists in the Lord's transcendental pastimes. And Nityananda is the same. Text 8. Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumed five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. So Balaram is with Krishna in Vrindavan. So, I'm going to use my hands for a moment. The description found in Brahma Samhita of Goloka, the spiritual abode of Krishna, is it's shaped like a lotus, and in the center part of the lotus there's the corolla, and then there's the petals surrounding the corolla. And then there's a outer region, kind of like the suburbs, but not quite, not like the suburbs. but it's literally part of Goloka. And in that, so Balaram is in the center part with Krishna and Radha and the residents of Vrindavan. And then there's an expansion of that original Sankarshan as Sankarshan and Pradyumna and Aniruddha and Vasudeva. Just like Vasudeva Krishna is in Mathura and he's then taken to Vrindavan or Gokula. And there, along with Balaram, they enjoy childhood pastimes and then they leave, apparently, at least Leela-wise, they leave Vrindavan and go to Mathura. Then it's again Vasudeva Krishna. So in Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna and Balaram reside in these features as the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. The origin of them are Krishna and Balaram. And then that Sankarshan expands as Mahasankarshan of the Vaikuntha region. And there in the Vaikuntha region, Mahasankarshan does the same thing he does in Goloka. He manifests everything for Krishna's pastimes. Text 9. Balaram, he himself, helps in the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And he does the work of creation in the other four other forms. So there's these five that I've identified. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation, and in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves in various ways. In all the forms, he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. Goes on. So why are we honoring Lord Balaram? His appearance day. It's not like a question from yesterday. It's not like, you know, we have a birthday party for somebody. That's okay, have a birthday party for somebody, but this is different because Balaram is different. He is the direct expansion of Krishna, and in that capacity, as Krishna's direct expansion, he serves in the spiritual and material world in unlimited ways. And our own capacity and constitutional nature of being a servant of Krishna, that mood of service is derived from the origin of that mood of service, from Balaram. So we're intimately connected with Balaram. And he appears first, we'll hear some more as the day goes along, but he appears first before Krishna to prepare the way, to get things set up for Krishna's pastimes. And to directly assist him in his pastimes. And Krishna loves Balaram. Balaram loves Krishna. In a completely transcendental way. Unlike, you know, brothers love each other. Or friends love each other. It's an eternal constitutional affection. And so the childhood pastimes of Krishna and Balaram growing up, they're so attractive. Especially when one considers the bhava factor, the transcendental love factor. Those little pastimes. But it's transcendental loving exchange. It's rasa. It's Krishna's happiness. It's all about the unlimited happiness of Krishna. And Balaram gives that happiness to Krishna, and Balaram gives us strength so we can also assist him in giving happiness to Krishna. So we're honoring him on his appearance day. to be continued, some more pastime. This is, I thought, the morning class, I just can speak philosophy, and then later other people that don't normally come around in the morning times will speak some pastimes and a little less philosophy, much less philosophy. Any comments or questions? Okay.
You provided a lot of examples. I'm not able to connect the dots precisely. When you say subjective, there's so much emphasis placed on the term subjective. So the love and service attitude or service mood, how are we supposed to process the mood in which Lord Balaram is serving and loving Krishna versus how Radharani is?
How are we supposed to process the loving mood with which Lord Balaram serves Krishna?
Krishna, how is that different than how Srimati Radharani is?
Oh, well, she's his Ladini Shakti. The way in which she gives happiness to Krishna is as his internal potency. The position from which Radha does what she does gives pleasure to Krishna is from a different position than Balaram, who gives pleasure to Krishna from a different position. He's his direct expansion. He's not his pleasure potency. He's Krishna himself serving Krishna. So it's puzzling. But that's the position from which he's serving Krishna. And he serves Krishna, Balaram serves Krishna in all the different rasas. That's like a whole other discussion. But his mood of service is unstoppable. It's pervasive. And Radha is not limited at all. She's the pleasure potency, and she serves Krishna in Madhurya rasa. Balaram serves in all the rasas. She serves in Madhurya rasa in par excellence. So the position is, the difference is the difference of position from which they're serving and giving Krishna pleasure. So Krishna is at the center, and they're different beings or entities, using Bhaktisiddhanta's language, different positions from which service to Krishna is rendered. So there's the distinction. Krishna himself serving Krishna. Krishna's direct expansion. Krishna himself serving Krishna and all the rasas. The rasa is just a mellow, or the mood of, the humor of the exchange of love. Yes.
I was thinking of a similar question to Sri Balaram Prabhu, and I'm going to take it more from the perspective of us and the relationship with Lord Balaram Krishna Radharani. And you explained that Lord Balaram represents the mood of service, or he embodies the mood
yes.
of service.
Yes.
He embodies the mood of service. And Srimati Radharani stands as Bhakti Devi, devotional service. Or, you know, the contrary. Bhakti Devi stands from Srimati Radharani, which is devotional service. So, how does it work, the relationship that us, because our constitutional position is that we're eternal servants.
Yeah.
So you mentioned at one point that Bhakti Devi reawakens in us that mood of service.
Yeah. Well, she yes. So we can say Bhakti Devi, or we can say Srimati Radharani, we can say the internal potency, and all of them are accurate. Just different ways of saying the same thing. So the internal potency, by contacting the internal potency, that dormant tendency for service to Krishna becomes awakened. And that's the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Now, what's the role of Balaram in all of that? That's the question, correct? In relation to our awakening of devotional service. So, it's a little subtle, more than a little subtle, a little delicate, more than a little delicate. It's transcendentally puzzling. And that is, though there are those designated or empowered jivas who represent Balaram to engage one, to give one the strength, give one the presence of devotional service again in their life, and or this is the subtle part, representing Srimati Radharani. So if you read carefully in chapter 1 of Adi Lila, the spiritual master is the subject of chapter 1. The spiritual master is understood to be either the representative of Srimati Radharani or of Balaram. Now, that it doesn't say more than that. So it could be, well, is my spiritual master, is Srila Prabhupada representing Radharani or Srila Prabhupada representing Balaram? Is it either or kind of thing? Because that's our mind, it's binary. It doesn't have to be binary. It doesn't have to be either or. Like this question, there's an aspect of Srimati Radharani. She's the tender-hearted counterpart. Same language. The Ladini Shakti of the Supreme Lord, she wishes to increase Krishna's happiness. And one of the ways is engaging the living entities once again in devotional service. So she is that pleasure potency of the internal potency, the pleasure potency portion of the internal potency. She wants to see us engaged in Krishna's service. She's so merciful. So there are persons who are representatives of her who do that on her behalf. That's where the empowerment, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahitara Pravartana, from Chaitanya Charitamrita. In order to engage people, to engage living entities in service to Krishna, one has to receive Krishna Shakti, the empowerment from Krishna directly. That's this internal potency connection. So, servants of Srimati Radharani, engaging us in devotional service through the agency of the internal potency. So, but it's not, okay, it's binary. It's either that or representatives of Lord Balaram, and Balaram is interested in, you know, seeing the living entity once again restore their natural tendency of serving Krishna instead of serving, forgetting Krishna, serving Maya. So it's not or. It requires spiritual strength to do that. Even if the little light goes on that says, hey, I want to serve Krishna, I think.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. It's just from the perspective, I understood from what you said, from the perspective that I'm thinking, in mind, thinking of
either or,
but the spiritual world functions are
completely different. Yes, it's a different set of rules.
Yeah.
It's an absolute realm. And representatives, those who represent that absolute realm may be drawing capacity from more than, you know, from the absolute realm, from more than one, you know, apparent source. Because the higher order of things is, it's Advayam, It's all non-dual. But then there are different features of that non-dual. Just like you know the gopis. Because there's a text in Brahma Samhita that says they're embodiments of her own form. They're separate entities, but they're embodiments of her own form. So it's, you know, how do you deal with that? Are they separate forms, or are they embodiments of her form? Either or. It's not either or. That's our limited trying to understand things with our binary processor, the mind, the speculative mind. It doesn't provide you with the answer or a correct understanding. The reality is, the energies of Krishna are not different than Krishna. They're different, and they're not different at the same time. Oh, the mind can't handle that one. Is it different or is it non-different? It's simultaneously different and non-different. And that can be entered, that mystery can be entered into through the agency of bhakti. Atma bhakta. Not by scholarship or speculation. So we need the mercy of... So therefore, we're honoring before Krishna Janmashtami, Balaram's appearance, and we're honoring after Krishna Janmashtami, Radhastami. And we're drawing and offering prayers to and honoring and glorifying them both. Anything else? Don't worry, the midday class won't be like this. You have something.
I want to ask, you said like four expansions in the Devi Dwarka, was there Sankarshan?
Pradyumna and Anandra. Yeah.
One question is, this Sankarshan, you said like infinite expansion, like above.
Yes. What do the other ones do? They just kind of hang out and...
then they again expand, again there is another expansion from them.
Yes.
And you have said that Sankarshan and Vaikuntha again has infinite expansion.
I'm listening.
Is it Vasudeva Krishna, like, also what? Vasudeva out of the four? Like, you said Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Narodhana will be there in Dwarka, so is it Vasudeva Krishna same of one of those four expansions?
Yes. Not the other way around. Not that Krishna in Vrindavan is the expansion of Vasudeva Krishna, it's the other way around. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Krishna Balaram ki?
Yeah.
Gaur Premanandi ki?